Appreciate Walt praying for other churches because there are other people around, other places where God's word is being shared, and we support that. Grateful for that. Got to go back to Ephesians today, chapter 2, and look at verses 11 through 16 as we think together today. Ephesians chapter 2, starting verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. As I thought about this passage, it seemed to me it talked about reconciliation, making relationships right between us and God and between us and others. So I want to think about that this morning as we come to Christ for reconciliation. I'm grateful that reconciliation is possible, that we don't get to a place where we cannot be made right with God or right with other people. Both are possible. So if you've got your outline out, which I hope you have, in your bulletin there's an outline I encourage you to find, to write in some notes. So the first thing on is to admit the need for reconciliation. Why do we need it? He talked about in this passage of Scripture some reasons that I think that cause us to recognize why we need to be reconciled. One, if you're writing in your notes, when one is without God. If you don't have God, you need to be reconciled with God. You need a relationship with God. He talked about that they were separated from God and separated from Christ. So, if you do not know Christ, there's not a relationship with Jesus, and you're separated from God, you need to be made right with God. Need to restore. Need to bring into a new relationship with God. I recognize that if you're living in this world without God, you're living in a sad state. Even though outer circumstances may be good, in a sense, you may think things are going well, but if you do not know God, you're in a place where you don't want to stay. You want to come into a right relationship with the Holy God. So I need reconciliation because if I don't have God, I need God. And I get him through Jesus Christ, obviously, get a relationship, which this passage talks about. So that's why one of the reasons I need reconciliation. Now, some of us have already received him. You already begun the relationship with Christ, and you can say, I belong to Jesus. I've received him as my Savior, and I've been made right with God. Second thing is, notice that when one is without God's covenant, He talked about here that they were Gentiles, uncircumcised, at least considered uncircumcised, strangers to the covenant, and so on. What he's saying is, we were not a Jewish person. We were not a part of the Old Testament heritage. We didn't have the connection to the people of God because of the teaching from the Old Testament. Now, we recognize we all have to come to Christ now through Jesus and to God through Jesus. But if you are one without that covenant, then you're outside the relationship to God. You didn't know God. And God had set up that covenant in the Old Testament for people to come to faith in Jesus and to love in God and to know God through that covenant. So you didn't have that hope either. So the last thing he said in that passage was, or not necessarily last, but the next one is, I need reconciliation because I'm without hope. Notice he said that these are strangers to the covenant. They have no hope without God in the world. Is that true? If you don't know Jesus, are you without hope? Some people don't think so. But I need the hope that's found in Christ, the hope of a future, the hope of forgiveness, the hope of reconciliation. So when he talks about reconciliation, it means there's something wrong. If you're going to be reconciled, it means there's something wrong that needs to be corrected. In this case, it means we who know Christ have been reconciled, or if you don't know Jesus, he wants to reconcile you through faith in Christ so that you know the living God and bring you into right relationship to restore that relationship. So I need to admit, I need reconciliation. I'll talk more about that in a moment. So the second thing I want to think about is ask Christ to reconcile me with himself. Verse 13 said, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." I like that. No matter how far away I am from God, no matter how far I'm living and how my lifestyle may not have been pleasing to God, I can be made right with God. My relationship can be made what God wants it to be. So I ask him to do that. Let me read this first scripture passage on your outline. It says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." And notice what he said. The scripture passage says he makes peace through the blood of the cross, through what Christ did. Notice what he says about us before we meet Jesus. He says you are what? Alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. Now, we might say, well, I wasn't too bad a person. No, I was a pretty decent citizen, pretty good neighbor and all those things. Yet the scripture says, if I don't know Christ, I'm opposed to Christ and I'm hostile to Christ. I'm not letting him rule in my life. But how do I get right with God? It was the Father's good pleasure for all in the fullness to dwell in Jesus. And through him to reconcile us. Now, how does he do that? He says he's now reconciled us in his fleshly body through death. How does he do that? Because our sin needed to be punished, and God said, I'm going to let Jesus take it for you. He allowed Jesus to die on the cross. In fact, he gave Jesus, and Jesus voluntarily died on the cross, that what our sin caused, he forgave through dying for us on the cross. Doesn't make sense to the human mind. But he said, you are reconciled in his fleshly body. Jesus became human so he could die on the cross. You recognize that Jesus could not die as God, because God never dies. The only way Jesus could die was to become a human being, be God in a human body, and then human body could die on the cross, and he could become our Savior, take our sins into himself. We're approaching Easter time, and I think about the crucifixion. And the crucifixion was terrible, as you read all the things about his beating and all those things. But I still think the biggest problem or the biggest weight on Jesus' shoulders was not those beatings, although they were terrible. The worst thing was him becoming sin for us and taking into his body all the sin of all the evil from time to beginning to end of time into himself in his own body. Now, how does that reconcile us with God? It reconciles us because we come before God and say, God, I've done all these things and I can't make them right. How do I make them right? And God says, if you receive my son who took your place on the cross, I accept his death as payment for your sin. And because he did what was right, I accept that as payment for your sin. And you and I can be right together again. We can be in fellowship. I want you to notice what he said about this. When you come in Christ, you're reconciled, you're made right, you're coming to fellowship with God. He said, in order to present you what? Holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. To me, that's awesome. I know myself pretty well. Not like my wife does probably, but most of, but I know myself pretty well. When I think about me being presented for God, holy, blameless, and without reproach, I say, wait a minute. I know some places in my life that are not really too good. I know some attitudes I've got that probably need to be changed. And yet he promises that when I receive the reconciliation to the death of Christ, he takes my sin and takes my place and I receive him, God says, Jesus said, the word says, I'm going to place you before God, holy and blameless, and nothing against you. I like Romans 8:1. There's now no condemnation to the ones who are in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus. What a wonderful gift. The other passage says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. I don't understand all that, but I know it's true. Do you have to understand it to know it's true? Do you have to understand it to believe it's true? No. In fact, you'll never understand the things of God. I'll never understand why in the world Jesus loves me like he did. Well, God loved me enough to put his son on the cross. I'll never understand that really. But I can accept that and believe that and believe what he did. And so I ask him to reconcile me with himself. Now, when I think about this, there's a place in our life where we know that we're lost and we don't know Jesus, and we come to him as Savior and we're saved and we're reconciled with God. We're made right with God. Our relationship is made restored to full fellowship with God. Let me ask you something, though. Do you ever need reconciliation after you've come to know Jesus initially? Do you ever get out of line with God after you become a believer? Aren't you glad that you can be reconciled again? Because of what Christ did, you can come back and say, God, I sinned against you. I'm out of fellowship with you. I'm doing what you want me, don't want me to do, or I'm doing not doing what you want me to do. And I ask you to forgive me. And he reconciles, brings me into a restored full relationship and fellowship with him again. I'm grateful for that reconciliation is an ongoing relationship, not just a start relationship. But I've had to be reconciled with God more than once. Because I've had some things in my life that God says, I don't like that. And that breaks fellowship. Doesn't break my being his child, but it breaks my fellowship. And I have to come and say, God, you're right. Forgive me for that. Just take that out of my life. Or help me start doing that in my life. And he brings me back into full fellowship. Aren't you glad he didn't beat us over the head and say, well, now you dummy, you shouldn't have done that, so you're in trouble now. No, he forgives us. And he brings us back. Ask Christ, how does he reconcile us? In Jesus. He doesn't reconcile us because we're good people, because we do all the good stuff. We go to services enough, read the Bible enough, pray enough, be good enough. No, he just does it through Christ. On the other side of your notes, look to Christ for the peace found in reconciliation. Look for Christ for the peace found in reconciliation. Verse 14, the first part of it says, For he himself is our peace. He made both groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He is our peace. The scripture passage on your notes says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. There's something about the relationship when I come to Christ and ask him to save me, and when I come back and restore those relationships. Notice what he said, for he himself is our peace. Do you get that? It is not, as I mentioned earlier, about sometimes about salvation. Peace is not something God says, okay, here I am, I'm going to give you peace. No. Jesus says, this is peace. And if you will, imagine this is Jesus. If this is peace, and it's in Jesus, in order to get peace, what do I got to get? If I say you can't take this out of here, what do you got to get? You got to take the whole book. So in order to get peace, you got to take Jesus. Because Jesus is the peace. It is not something that he offers to us apart from himself to say to us, I'm going to give you peace. No. Forget that. It's what he gives us. It is he himself. Thank you, Ron. I don't need it. Thank you. What I want you to see is he himself is our peace. What that means is no matter what else happens, No matter what's going on in my life, no matter the problem, no matter the difficulties, no matter the issues or whatever else, if He is my peace and He lives in me forever, then the peace of God is already in me and I can trust that peace to help me deal with whatever's there because I'm in Him in whom I've been reconciled with God. And in that reconciliation, I have peace because the peacemaker is alive right here in my heart and life. And so I'm reconciled with God and being right with God and keeping that relationship alive and active, I can have peace all the time. No matter what else is happening, the Prince of Peace can be. Doesn't mean I don't hurt. Doesn't mean I don't suffer. Doesn't mean I don't have problems. Don't mean I might not worry. But I can still have peace because the Peace One is in me. Because I'm reconciled to God through faith in Christ and He lives in me. So I'm going to look to Him to be my peace. What that do for your marriage if you're married, if you look to God for your peace instead of your mate? What will it do in your relationship with your other neighbors if you're looking to Jesus for the relationship instead of to your neighbor? You see, that changes everything. Changes our relationships because we're depending on the One who can do it and we trust Him to help us do whatever needs to be done with other people. He is our peace. And I'm grateful. So He talked about Him being our peace. We're justified by faith. The next area is ask Christ to remove the barriers to reconciliation. He talked about that Christ is our peace and made both groups into one, people into one. He abolished in His flesh the dividing wall or the barrier. Is there any dividing wall between us and God? If we are not obeying the Lord, we're not yielding to the Lord, is there a barrier? Sin, disobedience to God, whether that's doing what I ought not to or not doing what I ought to, doesn't matter. Disobedience to God brings a barrier between us and God. For me, and others of you are aware of that, I think of the fact that in creation, when God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, if you read in Genesis, it indicates that they must have had a pretty good relationship at the beginning. As I read that account, He talks about God coming down the cool of the day and visiting with him. It sounds like they must have had a pretty good time. But when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree and sinned, and God came down in the garden to visit with them as He had been doing, what do? They go hide. Now, why did they hide? Was that God's fault or theirs? They had broken the relationship. They had disobeyed God. They had sinned against God, and when God came down, the relationship was broken and needed to be restored. That's why I think in the beginning, because what did God do in order to cover them? He killed animals, gave them animals. I think that's a representative of Christ dying on the cross, that blood had to be shed. But that barrier in God was broken, was removed. Listen, we can be restored to God. Let me read the scripture passage. But now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore accept one another. As Christ accepted us to the glory of God. The barriers. Now when we think about that, what are the barriers to reconciliation? Well, Adam and Eve were what? When God came down and they were what? Afraid. Fear can be. The devil wants people to be afraid of God. You know that? Be afraid if you trust Jesus and do things God's way, you're going to miss out. You're not going to have any fun in life. You're going to miss out. Or you're going to have to do something you don't ever want to do. There's that barrier that comes. But what are some other barriers to reconciliation that cause us to not get along with God or with other people? I think one of the barriers that we need to ask God to overcome is self and selfishness. Does self ever get in our way? What I want, the way I want it, when I want it, how I want it? Yeah. Because I want to be all right with God and I want to be all right with you, but let's do it on my terms. Let me tell you how I want you to do it. I'll do this and this and this. And we want to do that with God. God, now I'll be right with you if you let me just do these things that I'd like to do. Or I'll be right with my neighbor if you'll just let me, you just listen to me and do things the way I want you to do, and we'll get along okay. But there's a barrier of selfishness. So that we are not willing to give that up until God takes away that. So that's a barrier to reconciliation. I think another barrier is pride. Oh, I'm proud. I'm glad who I am. I'm great. Does pride ever get in our way? Oh, yeah. And we ask Him to remove that barrier of pride. When God removes the barrier of pride, though, is it always pleasant? Sometimes He humbles us. Sometimes He lets us fall on our face and realize, wait a minute, I need some help. And there's that barrier of pride. So we ask God, we do that with God. God, I'm okay. I don't really need You. Some of the other barriers I think in relationship need to be removed is hurts. You get upset with somebody. Somebody hurts you. And that hurt is inside you. And if you hold on to that hurt, it's hard to be reconciled with that other person. And you'd ask God to heal the hurt and let You forgive. Let that go. Sometimes we even feel like God's offended us or God's hurt us. And we need to ask God to forgive us and realize God didn't offend us. And let Him heal that hurt. Sometimes we just get plain old mad. You ever get mad at God? God, what'd You let that person die for? God, what'd You let them have this, all this trouble financially? What'd You let this kid, little baby, die? God, what'd You let my husband or wife leave? God, what'd You let my kids do what they're doing and hurting me? And those anger can be a hindrance to reconciliation until we say, we ask God to help us, forgive, and let that go. Or maybe we just say, God, I'm going to get even. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. And it hinders us in reconciliation. So He asked Jesus to remove the barriers. Can He remove all those barriers? Can He change our heart? If we come to Him and ask Him, He'll begin to take those things out. Now, the change is not always pleasant in the process, but is good when it's through. That change is wonderful. Because when He removes the dividing wall, the separation between us and God, and we come to know Christ, is that wonderful? When we come to know Christ and get saved and we're born again, or when we restore a relationship, isn't it good to feel good when things are right again? They're forgiven and they're restored. See, reconciliation involves a matter of forgiveness, right? And letting things go. And that's what God does. He forgives and restores us. So I ask Christ to move the barriers in my heart to reconciliation with Him and with other people. Because He will. And if you ask Him to, He'll lead you to whatever it takes to do that. He makes people one. The last thing on your notes. Be reconciled to others through Christ. Be reconciled to others through Christ. Now notice He talked about in the scripture passage, then He made two into one. In verse 16 He said He might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by it having put to death the enmity. And He's talking about relationships with God, but I also think He wants to restore relationships with others. If you have been restored to a relationship with God and you've been forgiven and He's restored you to a wonderful relationship, why not extend that to other people? Are there scriptures that indicate if I don't forgive others, I have trouble receiving forgiveness from God as well? So He talked about this dividing wall, and then He talked about being made one, being brought together in Christ, reconciled to others through Christ, through the cross. I think one of the ways that helps us do that is when you and I recognize Jesus has forgiven us and cleansed us from how much? Does He ever cleanse you more than once? And you think about what He's already done for you and the cross of Christ and how that restores your relationship, that cleans up your life and brings you into a relationship with God. How in the world can you not extend that to other people as well? Jesus talked about that, if you remember, when He told a parable about a man who was forgiven a little and a huge amount in Matthew 18. And then he turns around and the guy owes him a little bit comparatively and he throws him in jail. And then the Bible says, Jesus said in that parable, He puts him in the in jail to the torturers until he restores. See, if you don't forgive, you can't. It's going to be hard to forgive others. If you don't forgive others, it's hard to have it on our own life. Let me read a couple of scriptures that relate to this. Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. Of course, we think about offering in the sense of animal sacrifices. But when we come to worship, do we need to restore relationships before we worship? Does it have anything to do, any effect on how I worship God, is how I'm getting along with other people? Now, I don't know whether you notice it or not, but sometimes with families, when do you have a fuss or a disagreement or somebody late or whatever? Sunday morning, where you're trying to get ready for worship. Did you ever notice that? Because he wants to get you upset with your whoever, because it's hard to come and worship when you're coming because you're at outs with someone else when you're coming to the house of the Lord. So it's why it's important for us to say, God, help me to be reconciled with my brother, to forgive and to kiss and make up, if you will, before I get here, so that I can worship God. Because the enemy knows if we're distracted with all this stuff, we're not going to really focus on God. We're going to be sitting here listening to the preacher and the music, but we're going to be thinking about, going through your mind, all the stuff that person did. And you're not really focusing on God. The devil's got you distracted. So he said, in Christ, because I recognize God forgave me. And besides, when I think about it, have you ever been forgiven anything? Have you ever done anything wrong that you need forgiveness for? Do you want forgiveness? Always, right? So why can't I give it to somebody else? Why do I have to have them meet a certain standards before I forgive them? And ask God to help me forgive and release the hurt. So, he said, if you're coming, be reconciled with your brother, and then come. There have been some times when I've had to do that. I remember one time a while ago now, I sent an email to a person who no longer attends this church. Because I felt like there was a barrier between us. And I got a response back that things are okay. You think that had anything to do with how I worshiped? Absolutely. We need to do that. The other passage says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In Christ, we're completely forgiven. Aren't you glad? I'm a new creation. If you're in Jesus, you've not been halfway forgiven, you've been fully forgiven. You've not been halfway restored, you've been fully restored. I like that in Jesus told about the Father and the Son who went away and wasted all his stuff, and when he comes back home, I like that account, because when the Bible says, when that son came home, the father said, okay, but you can come home, but you've got to go clean out the cow stalls. You can come home, but you got to sleep out in the barn. Now, what did he say? He welcomed him fully at home. Put a ring on his finger, which suggested loyalty and connection. Put a robe on him. That was for the royal people. We're going to kill a fat. We're going to have a ball. We're going to have a party. He said, my son is coming back full son. You're not coming back halfway. You're coming back full way, fully restored. And so I want us to help one another to learn to forgive others and let it go and receive it. Can you do that on your own? Is it hard without Jesus to forgive and to let it? It's hard. The only way you're ever going to do that is you keep bringing to Jesus. Keep bringing to Jesus. I'd like to think I settled it between me and another person and it's done and over with. But sometimes it pops back in my mind and I think about it again. You remember what Peter talked to Jesus about, how often he ought to forgive somebody? Peter said, oh, 7 times, that ought to be pretty good. That's one way beyond. What did Jesus say to him? 70 times 7. Now, does that mean you count to 490 and then you punch him? No. It just means every time it comes up, you forgive. Every time it comes to your mind, you ask God to take it and restore it, forgive it again and again and again. When you think about it, has God ever had to forgive you of anything more than one time? More than two times? More than three times? And so, this means that I want to do that for others. 70 times 7, that's if that's so. I forgive and then I ask God to help me restore. There are times when you do all you can and cannot restore the relationship. You've done all you can do. If the other person will not, you just pray that God will help them to forgive and let it go. So I don't want to feel guilty there. But I think of some examples, a couple of them I mentioned. In the Old Testament, remember a man named Jacob and his brother Esau? And Jacob stole his birthright and he stole the blessing. And, you know, what's Esau going to do? He's going to kill him. He said, my father dies. I'm paraphrasing. That's basically what he said. My father dies. I'm going to kill Jacob. I'll get rid of him. Well, Jacob, his mother sends him way away. After a long time, Jacob is coming home. If you remember the story, Jacob's coming home. And he sends all these cattle and all these peace offerings because he knows he hears Esau's coming after him. He didn't know. But when they get together, what do? They restore the relationship. Esau has forgiven Jacob. And he says, come on home. Or I think of one other. You remember in the Old Testament, these are both Old Testament. A man named Joseph, whose brothers didn't like. They sold him down to some slave traders. He winds up down in Egypt. Joseph's down there a long time, and of course, you know the story. Joseph comes out pretty good after all. God uses it. He becomes the chief ruler next to the king, and all the food and so on that he's provided. But then his brothers come down, and his brothers are afraid. If you read the story, they're afraid. They want to know. When they finally find out this is Joseph, they think, well, what's going to happen to us? You remember what Joseph said? Couple of things. You meant it for good, but God meant it for evil. You're right. Thank you. At least you're listening. Somebody know the story. See, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Not only that, but he said, God sent me ahead of time to prepare for what's going to happen. He forgave them. Fully restored and brings them down into Egypt and provides for them. Listen, folks, isn't that a whole lot better story than going around with a chip on your shoulder and anger in your heart? Reconciliation. So I think as you read this passage of Scripture, you recognize I need to be reconciled more than once. And whenever I find that I need it, I can come to the cross of Christ and cry out, Lord, forgive me, save me, cleanse me, renew me. And he will. When I'm out with other people, I can say, God, help me forgive that person and restore the relationships. And he will. He will help you. He will help you. And besides, it's a whole lot better to live in reconciliation than live without it. Isn't it fun to be right with God? To know you've been forgiven. You're trying to love. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Understand that. But your right relationship. It's also good to be in a relationship with others. I sure like it when my wife and I get along better. Well, it's a whole lot more fun to go home when we're unharmed than when we're, you know. But isn't that true with other people as well? It's more enjoyable in life to be in forgiven, restored relationships. And we can be that by the cross who forgives and cleanses us. And helps us by the blood of Jesus. He can do that for us. So my prayer is that you'll take advantage of that today. If you've never come to the cross of Jesus to be saved, today's a good day to say, Jesus, you and I have been at outs. It's time to restore the relationship. I'm asking you to forgive me and forgive me of where I've been wrong, where I've shut you out of my life. I'm asking you to come into my heart and life and save you. And the good news, he'll do it then and there right now and fully clean it out. I mean, nothing left. If you're here today and you're at outs with God about something bothering you, you can come to the cross of Christ and say, because you died on the cross, would you forgive me, Lord, where I'm doing something you don't want me to do, and help me to start. Change that by your grace today. Or, Lord, there's something you've been asking me to do, and I've been putting off. Lord, let's get it right. Let's start doing it today. That relationship can be restored. Maybe there's something in your mind and heart about you and another person. Would you bring it to the cross and say, God, there's this person in my life who's bugging me. Maybe I'm angry with. Would you help me to forgive and to be reconciled? And trust him to do that. Let's pray together.